So good evening. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. It is Tuesday evening, and you all know what Tuesday evening is. It is my favorite time of the week. It's where I get to play with you. I get to feed my curiosity. And it is where ordinary people who are doing extraordinary things come to share how they got to do what they do and be who they be. And it's really exciting. So tonight I have Aaron Chapman on the line. Well, on the show. I always say on the line like you're on the phone. I guess it's because I'm always on the phone. But first, before I get into that, like, I want to share, what was my week like? Oh, so I forgot to say that last week I sold a piece of art. And I think many of you know that I have been doodling with art. I shouldn't even say I'm doodling because I'm actually doing some really good pieces.
You sold a piece of art.
I'm actually doing pieces. I think they're channeled to me because I'm really surprised at the level of quality of the work that I'm doing. It's quite shocking.
Good.
You know, I mean, I used to paint as a kid and I gave it up, didn't do it anymore. And then I just picked it up about like 3-4 months ago and I've been doing some amazing things. And one of my pieces got sold, and the piece that got sold is called Fishfrog.
But you're a professional artist now.
I am now a professional artist. Yay! No, I really love doing art because it has me slow down, has me go in. I check out. I'm like in. It's just me and the paintings. I never know what's going to show up at the end of a piece. Also, I have an even greater profound feeling and love of art because I've been working on a small piece, which is like 3x5. And it's taken me over 6 weeks to complete that piece. Not because it's a small piece, but because the piece is telling me where it wants to go, right? So if you need a place, it's like meditation, actually. And mm-hmm. I really get why people who do art are really into it and they become addicted to it. Well, not addicted, right? Because it's not really an addiction. But for me, maybe it's an addiction. It feels like I'm checked out. I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. But yeah, I'm so excited to share that I sold a piece. But anyway, less of me and more about my guest, which is Aaron Chapman. How long have we known each other now?
Only a few months, since February, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
It feels like it's been forever.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like we've been friends for literally ever.
So, Aaron, yeah. Welcome to Beyond Potential.
Thank you. Live life your way.
Would you say that you're living life your way?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely.
Would you say that you've always lived life that way, or it's become...
Yeah, I think for the most part I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always kind of made my life the way I wanted it to be.
Kind of march to your own beat.
That's for certain, yeah.
And that's what my dad told me when I was 13. Can't you march to your own beat? You have to do what everybody else is doing. I'm like, Dad, I just want clothes. I don't care about a beat. I just want clothes. Can I have them? No. I can't be buying you clothes every week.
Right.
Yeah. So you're a beater, a marcher to your own beat, and that's why I think we connected
for sure.
Yeah,
definitely. So, we are definitely our own people.
So tell me, like, where are you originally from?
So I'm born and raised here in New York City. I grew up on 92nd West End.
You're a rarity.
I know. You know, you say that, although I've had a whole bunch of Wonder Ones the last couple of weeks, and I've met a lot more of us. Shout out to Angus. But like, I guess we are few and far between. A lot of us do try and escape, but I don't really know where else I could live, really.
Have you ever lived outside of New York? Other than New Jersey.
Well, no, I would never live in New Jersey. Sorry.
Oh, you live on the Washington. Why do I always think that you live in New Jersey?
No, no.
You live in the Heights.
No, no. I'm the most provincial person you'll ever meet. I could only live in what used to be 212. That's it.
Right.
Like, that's me. I lived in Vermont for 4 years. I went to Bennington, and then I did live in Paris for a year.
How was Paris? I love Paris.
Fantastic.
Would you ever go back there?
Yeah. To live, probably not anymore. It's a very different Europe now.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if I would go and live in Europe now, but maybe.
Are you one of these people that, like, when you get to a certain age, you're going to, like, go to God's waiting room, which I call Florida?
Absolutely not. It is way too humid in Florida for me. exactly. I would just be Rosanna Dana all the time. No, I have this secret fantasy of buying like a giant Victorian in like Nova Scotia and turning it into either like a bed and breakfast or Airbnb or something. Like that's, I think, my retirement plan. But yeah, I have to talk to my husband into that one.
So. Yeah, my I have a cousin that he left and went to Florida, and I said to him, "Do you realize that you're in God's waiting?"
Yeah.
He goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "It's like where everybody goes to die.
To wait.
Yeah.
To die. Until they get called. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, okay. So you're not that. You wouldn't.
No.
See, I don't see myself doing that either. I really love New York. And I think that, I mean, a lot of people say that New York is not great for old people.
Oh, I think it's the opposite.
I think it's perfect for old people.
Absolutely. With the public transportation and everything your heart desires able to be delivered to your door.
Absolutely.
And the corner coffee shop.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah, my favorite place.
Yeah, absolutely.
And lots of things to do. And also there's a lot of free things to do.
A lot of free things to do, yeah.
So, no, I'm not leaving New York City. I love it. So, tell me, you are an event planner.
I am.
Right. And before you were an event planner, what did you do? Because I want people to know that you did lots of different things before you became an event
many,
planner.
Many, many lives.
But they're all connected as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So tell us, what were some of the things? I know that you were a fine artist.
Yep.
That's perfect.
Yep.
I also know that you were in film and theater.
Yep.
What did you do in film and theater?
A lot of things. A lot of production. Mm-hmm. I worked in the art department a lot. I had a short stint in the costume design department. Mm-hmm. But I landed in the camera department, and I got my union card there, and that's where I met my husband.
Oh, wow. Do you still have your union card?
I'm on whatever they call it, like honorable discharge or I forget like what they call it.
Well, it is like the bloody army. You guys have to be up at like 2 a.m.
it
out
is.
In the freezing cold.
Yes. And there's definitely like, you know, there's the hierarchy and the whole thing. So, yeah, it was very militaristic, which was actually not the worst thing. But it was very efficient. But after I met my husband and we decided to have a kid, I didn't want to raise him in that.
In
I wanted
the film
to
industry.
Be around. Right. So, yeah, we made some changes.
And then, so how did you get into event planning?
So, like a lot of things in my life, I kind of backed into it. Mm-hmm. I had been doing graphics, doing PowerPoints and keynotes and what have you. And I started working with a gentleman who was putting together programs for nonprofits, mostly for Jewish advocacy nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And we teamed up and we had a company together. And we were working on a very large event. And he really, it just didn't work for him. Mm-hmm. And so he left and I stayed and I bought the company and I kept the clients. Mm-hmm. And I've been adding clients and building the business ever since.
Right. I know you just did a huge, not the one that you were on the panel. That was last
week. That was
fun. That was last week.
Yeah.
But you were missing for a few weeks. Because I say missing because
I went total MIA.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we were calling and I'm like, where is she? And then I'm getting, what is it? Like kind of thing. Like I'm in this big thing and I'm at this, doing this event, you know. So if you're not an event planner, you really don't know what's going on out there in the world. And you think, oh, she's just doing an event plan, throwing a few things together. But this was absolutely enormous.
It's a big meeting. Yeah, the American Jewish Committee's Global Forum is three and a half days.
Right.
This was about 25 to 2,700 people. They have a multi-tier program. They go up to the Hill to lobby. Like, it's a big deal.
Right.
Yeah, it's a two-day load-in and almost a full eight-hour load-out.
Wow.
So it's pretty all-consuming, and especially when you're on the site.
700 people.
It's a lot of mouths to feed.
Yeah. So walk me through a little bit of the process, because most people, like I read something yesterday, it says event planning is not party planning.
It is absolutely not party planning.
Whereas most people think that event planning is party planning. I'm
right.
An event planner and they plan parties. I mean, it is some of that, but it's not all of that.
Well, on a certain scale, it can be party planning. Mm-hmm. Like it could be that simple. No, but when you get to a certain, if you want a certain level of quality, mm-hmm. and you have a, you know, you're moving around more than 50 people, mm-hmm. I would say, then you need a very different set of skills.
Right.
And it has everything to do with finding the proper venue and understanding the contracts that you're reading, knowing when to push back on the client, when to push back on the vendors,
right.
Having all of the resources.
Right.
It's just a very different animal.
So you use all parts of your brain, the right and the left.
Yeah. Absolutely. Especially with what we do, because we also do a lot of immersive branding.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of the production side. So we do a lot of the AV. We do a lot of the, the large projection screens and big audio installations, mm-hmm. and activations and all of that kind of stuff too.
So everybody has to be talking the same language.
Everybody's going to be talking the same language, and everybody has to be moving in the same direction.
Right.
Which sounds a lot easier than it is.
Right. Well, for me, it's like, I think, you know, I wouldn't say I'm an event planner, but I do plan little things. And it's a lot of work.
It is
and
a lot of work.
I mean, like, you have to have that. If this is not your forte, it's kind of like this, oh, shit, I forgot to do it. Oh, shit, I got to. It's like that.
Yeah.
But if you, like you, I know, run with a checklist. You have a running... Yep. checklist of things to do.
Yes. And for every event, it's slightly different, but mm-hmm. there are some very definite basics that you just kind of roll through right. in your head. You're like, okay, this and okay, that. And I got that. And, you know, the earlier you start, the better, the easier it is on everybody. Because right. then you have enough runway that you can make sure that everybody has got,
right.
is moving in the right direction and has all the information that they need, and that you can then go over with your teams over and over and over again everything right. so that all of those little details get caught.
Okay. So we're going to take a pause and then we're going to come right back.
Okay.
Thank you. So I wanted to... What was that name of that girl?
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I'm speaking with Aaron Chapman, who is your company's AX3 Studios. Yay. I did it. I didn't screw it up.
You did it.
Normally, I'm surprised I didn't call you Man Chap or something like that.
Oh, No. AAA Studios.
So walk me through just a small event. Like, so walk me through, you know, if I were going to be planning an event for 100 people.
Okay.
Right? And walk me through that. I'm selling tickets.
Okay. So
what's the first thing that I need to do?
Is it a panel discussion or is it round table? Like, what's the format? That would be the first thing. So it would be, what's the message you're trying to get out?
Right.
And then match the format to the message.
Okay.
And then we would have to go find a venue,
right,
which would then help us determine a date.
Right.
And then you send out the save the date.
Right.
And then you find the speakers and you start marketing the speakers.
No, so would it be like, first I have to find out how much money I'm going to spend?
Well, and that's a big part of the venue, right? The venue tends to be the largest cost, right, next to catering, right, often. And unless you're going to do a huge like AV setup, but with 100 people, you don't really need to.
Right.
So you can try and budget it beforehand, but sometimes the realities of the venue and the catering kind of challenge whatever, right, you've kind of hoped for as a budget.
So your job would be to get me have a better understanding of what I need.
Yeah.
To as in a budget, right?
And so, what the realistic costs would be.
Right. So a cute small place like that, and place that to me nameless, that we were together at a couple of weeks ago. Because we look at spaces, the way we look at a space is like, oh, it's only going to be a few hundred dollars. And you, right, realize, oh, no, it's a few thousand dollars.
They can be, yeah. Right. And depending on the place, sometimes you can negotiate them down. Depends on the organization you're with. Sometimes they'll throw something in for free. So you sort of balance the sponsorship with them. But yeah, the space where we were in a couple of weeks ago, that was actually a relatively affordable space, mm-hmm, given where it was. It was, mm-hmm, on right there on 52nd Street with, mm-hmm, the view of the cathedral. So that was a very sort of, I would say, very high value place, mm-hmm, given the cost that it was.
Right. And so, because I know that, you know, when you actually hear what places cost, it's really shocking.
It is shocking.
And then you have to sometimes transform that place.
Right.
And everything costs.
Everything.
Right. So as a layperson trying to do an event by themselves, I don't think that's recommended.
Don't do that. No. It's really not, because the biggest thing is, again, it's, you know, we have the experience, we being event planners, mm-hmm, we have the experience with getting things that are going to be cheaper. We have relationships with vendors, mm-hmm, so then we can always negotiate something with them. We know how to push back on a venue and be like, come on, guys, this, mm-hmm, is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, I have an event planning friend who helped her client save tens of thousands of dollars on, mm-hmm, a hotel bill because, mm-hmm, they were just being ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, we event planners cost money. And so a lot of times a lot of people or organizations don't want to use us because they see that upfront cost. But we can end up saving an organization literally tens of thousands of dollars.
Right.
In every area, from flowers to the venue to AV to drape, like between ideas and tricks and, you know, some shortcuts that you can take that the participants would never notice.
Right.
They still think they're getting a champagne event.
Right.
But, you know, Prosecco prices.
Well, I'm looking at, you know, flowers. It wouldn't even cross my mind to add flowers.
Oh, they're so expensive.
They are.
Or they
super
really
expensive.
Can be very expensive.
Right, if you don't know what you're doing.
If you know some event people, you can make some phone calls and be like, hey, Sally, I know you had this big gala last night. What did you do with the flowers? Can, right, I buy them off of you for 10% off the list price?
See, I would never think of that.
Right.
Because I wouldn't know it as Sally.
Right, exactly. And so, and especially right now with flowers in particular, like, mm-hmm, that area is, you know, because everybody's also trying to be greener and more sustainable. Mm-hmm. So cut flowers are a bit of a hot button issue in that,
why,
conversation. Because of the amount of
waste,
water and resources and waste, it's just a huge burden on the environment.
Oh, wow.
So we, you know, there's a huge movement to go to small potted or no florals at all, uh-huh, depending on the event, of course. So, yeah, everybody is highly motivated to either find an alternative to flowers or try and figure out a way to recycle them. And there's, right, some hospitals and stuff that will take flowers, and there's some ways to do it.
But. Right. So there was something that I heard you say, which I thought was a really, okay, so let me rewind. So as a event planner, you're filled with ideas, thoughts, innovative ways of, because I think, I read an article that you wrote, and you said that like the panel and these big meeting things are going you know, in 5 years or so or less, they're going to be like the way of the wind kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So what?
Yeah, the traditional formats, the right. the keynote speaker, the panels, the sort of like the passive audience mm-hmm. watching the expert on the stage.
Right. So what experience. Do you think is going to step in place of that?
Well, God, I hope it's a lot more interactive. And I think that that's where everything is moving right. with, you know, all of the event apps that are happening now and planners and clients alike getting much more adventurous to try new things. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we have seen and we've almost gotten a client to do is called a silent meeting mm-hmm. where you have multiple speakers and then the participants wear headphones.
Oh, wow.
And then you can pick the speaker that you're listening to. Or the topic that you're listening to, and if you're
like the radio,
exactly right. So like you're bored, this guy's not the most entertaining. You can go listen to her, and you can kind of move around the room, which uh-huh, is also uh-huh. becoming more and more important. As people want to be up, they want to be moving. Something else that's very popular now is participants voting on the topic uh-huh. of a discussion, and that discussions are much smaller, so they're much more intimate, more right. fireside chatty kind of things.
Right.
But the participants want to have a say in what it is that they're learning and what they're hearing.
I like that.
Yeah.
See his face?
No, definitely.
No, I love the idea of the silent.
It's fun.
The silent panel.
Well, and I love speaker. The origins of that is it comes from
the silent disco.
It comes from the rave scene.
Right.
So it's nice that it's sort of trickling into the corporate America, which is, it's getting, you know, it's growing up.
I love that because I do love those silent parties. They're so fun.
So fun.
So
yeah.
fun. And I think inside of having a silent conference would be exciting, but I think it would be scary for some people.
Oh, absolutely. Well, listen, you know,
challenge.
It depends on the organization, right? So a lot of my clients have a very broad range of demographic they're trying to right. cover, right? They've got the older generation who is really their main, right. like their stable donors.
Right.
But then they're trying to nurture this relationship with the Gen Zs. Mm-hmm. And they've got everybody in between. And so trying to have something that bridges that broad gap.
Right.
It is tough. And one of the things that I try to argue for is to have, especially during the breakout schedules, mm-hmm. is to have a little something for everybody.
Right.
So you have a little something for the Gen Zs, you have a little something for the Gen Xers, you have a little something for the baby boomers. And so everybody has kind of their bases covered.
Right.
And in that scenario, a silent meeting for the Gen Zs and Xers, millennials, would be perfect.
So what would you like, if you could do anything and transform the boomers, what's that one thing you would do? Because I'm sensing that they're the ones that are a little bit stuck.
Well, they are, you know, they like what they like, mm-hmm. right? As we get older, we like what we like mm-hmm. and we want to stick to it. And technology is a little scary mm-hmm. and a little cumbersome. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in that regard, then I would like to see more roundtable discussions mm-hmm. if you're going to try and engage them in a much more intimate way, right? So you have smaller meetings, you have roundtables, you have, I think even if you just reduce the size,
right.
instead of having these grand plenary sessions, like I think you can open with a grand plenary and then right. close with a grand plenary, but everything in the mm-hmm. middle, I think, has to be a little bit more
intimate
and hands-on and a little more face-to-face.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. That's, I mean, it sounds really great. I mean, like, because I'm seeing where you go to these massive conferences and there's, if you're anything like me, you get really excited because there's a gazillion people in there that
yeah.
you can actually meet.
And so many new friends.
There's so many new people to meet. And then it's like, oh my God, I can't meet everybody. And it's like, What am I missing? For me, it's like,
oh,
you know,
constantly.
I'm missing out
yeah.
on something. Was that FOMO or something?
FOMO, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's like, you're right here. Maybe I'm talking. So one of the things that I've noticed since I've been in America, when I first came here from England, it was like, you know, you said excuse me to somebody when you were going to interrupt or their conversation, or you'd wait until there was a silent pause.
Right.
Then you would jump
polite.
In. However, I would stand there forever.
Right? Yes.
When I first came, I'll pretty much stand there forever because that's just how I was raised and that's
right.
what you do.
Right.
And I remember this woman saying, "What are you standing here for?" And I said, "Oh, I wanted to talk to you."
You're like stalking them.
"I wanted to talk to you." She goes, "Well, yeah, well, why don't you just talk?" And I said, "Well, you were talking to somebody." She goes, "Well, I had to learn to butt in."
Yeah.
Right? And in the beginning, you're sort of cumbersome. It's like a right in the head, exactly. Right?
Dink.
But so at a conference, you're talking to so-and-so. There's a ton of people that you want to talk to. I'm talking to you, that somebody comes in, boom, and they take over the conversation, right? So I think that the smaller roundtable activity, interactive, even the silent, silent conferences would be great.
Absolutely. And you're seeing it more and more, especially in the larger conferences. So you're seeing it more and more in places like TED and IMAX. And I forget the name of the one up in Montreal, the really big one. So in those sectors and in sort of those meetings, which are very much more cutting edge, right, too, like they're where we're going.
Right.
And everybody else eventually will follow. But it's going to take some time for it to trickle down to all of the different sectors, I think.
So do you think, I mean, yes, you're an event planner, and I'm going to ask the question, do you think it's necessary to have these big conferences anymore? Or do you think... With the advent of technology.
No, I really do. I think they actually should be bigger and longer. Like, I feel like a 3-day conference is just enough. I feel like having even a 4 or 5 day conference, I know a lot of people can't take that much time out of their life.
Right.
I get that. But I, you know, because of technology, we are less and less engaged with each other.
Right.
And the more that we can bring our tribe, sort of the larger tribe, right, together in under one roof and have one experience, right, together and share one meal together, the better, I think. Just as a society, mm-hmm, I think we really need this.
Oh, okay. So I was going to ask you, one of the things I dislike about conferences, the food.
Listen, honey, you are in such good company. Food is an issue. It's a big issue. And it's also an issue in sustainability, too. Like, it's a big conversation that happens. It's obscenely expensive. And it's a problem.
Ugh. The last
catering is hard. Like, good catering is hard.
It's difficult. The last one that I conference I went to be remain nameless, the food was so disgusting.
I
thought I was going to die.
I'm sorry.
So what I did was I was like, Trader Joe's. Is there a Trader Joe's nearby? And literally jumped in a cab, went to Trader Joe's, stocked up on greens.
You just got your own
stocked
food.
Up on food. And then what I would do is I'd bring it down in my bag, and then I would ask the person to, like, transfer my food. Because there was no greenery, right? I needed greens.
Right.
I asked the waitress to transfer my food onto the plate, and she did it. And people were like, did you bring your own food? And I was like, yeah.
Were you in a convention center or were you in a hotel?
We were in a massive hotel, but it was like a massive hotel convention center type thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was the food was so bad, and it was... The chicken was so dry. And, you know, you're looking forward to eating good food. No, there's no such animal.
It's
Is it because of the vast quantities of food that you have to serve or cook?
I don't know what the magic answer is. I think that is very definitely a huge obstacle. I think it's also hotels in particular are trying to make as much money off of the food and beverage as they possibly can.
Well, that's their responsibility.
Well... They don't have to, like, be that aggressive. Like, every event does not need to pay for the entire month, right? Like, come on now.
Well, just in case, you know. Well, do we need to take a break? So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
To
answer your question.
She just said she's having a great time. So, you know, I aim for people to have a great time because this is a conversation and people want to know what you do, how you do it, and what does it take? So somebody who's brand new, who's, you know, says, I want to be an event planner. Who do they have to be for that to happen?
Who do they have to be?
Yeah, as in, you know, being. Like the, you said that you are detail-oriented. Nothing really phases you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you have a patience of Job, you know, that kind of thing, right?
Thank you for that.
You're able to be straightforward with people and tell them no when they need to hear no.
Yeah. A lot of that just comes with experience. I think at the very, very core, if you're just starting out and you're thinking about being an event planner, you should take inventory and make sure that, yes, that you are someone who is detail oriented, someone who enjoys spreadsheets, and someone who is teachable because you're always learning. You have to be resilient and resourceful. Those are two very important personality traits.
And I'd also add, you have to be able to think on your feet.
Yeah.
twice as fast as anybody else.
And you have to be a person where can't is not an option.
Right.
Like, you know, at the end of the day, the curtain goes up, right? So the show will go on whether you're ready or not.
Right.
It's one of the few places in our lives that that's actually the case, where a deadline is actually a deadline. So yes, you have to be able to maneuver your way to get there so that whatever issues are happening, nobody else but you knows it.
Right.
And part of how you do that is also being able to run a team or have a team.
Right. So you got to be a serious team player.
You have to be a serious team player. Yeah. Both in terms of working with your client, but also working with all of the other humans involved, right? The venue, the vendors, but also your own team.
Right.
You know, the people who are helping you actually put the event on.
Right. And so what's one of the areas that where people who want to be event planners, they fail?
The biggest place, well, there's two places I think that really everything kind of comes undone. And the main place is in the flexibility because things change. You can plan for 6 months and then all of a sudden it rains.
Right.
And you're going inside and everything is different.
Right.
And some people in that moment literally come unhinged. Like they can't turn the ship around.
Right.
And you have to be able to go, huh, well, that sucks. All right. And pick up and
go
collect
inside.
Everything and go inside. And it's a different event all of a sudden. But you just got to go with it.
Right.
Because again, people got to have a good time.
Like at the end. And it's not about you.
And it's not about you. It's not personal.
Right.
It's never personal. Right. And then the other is, you know, I think that doing this job does have a expiration date. I think there does come a time where the amount of stress that we're under and the delightful craziness of our clients.
Do you have bull patches?
Yeah. My teeth are flat. It gets to you. And I think that there are a lot of planners working now that are resentful and tired and out of steam. And they're just collecting a paycheck.
So the question is, what do you do when you're not working?
What do you do when you're not working to, like, you know, compensate or deal with the stresses that you're...
No, it absolutely exists. When I'm not working, well, if I'm not working on client work, then I'm often working on the business. And if I'm not working on the business, then I'm with my family. I'm with my boys. I'm cooking. I'm hanging out with my dog. I'm taking long walks in the park. I do need to get back to doing my yoga and exercise and those kinds of things. Hanging out with friends, networking.
Right. Having fun and play dates.
Talking on podcasts with my dear friends.
That's right. What do you? How do you define success for yourself?
Success for myself?
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, you know, at the end of an event, happy participants. Participants that feel fulfilled, that they've gotten great value out of their experience.
Right.
Happy clients. Grateful clients. A grateful client is like we totally won.
Right.
And then, you know, making a little money on this, doing that is also a pretty big success.
Right. Cool. I heard, for me, defining my success is like, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm like completely happy. And that's what I heard from you. You're happy that your people are happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wrote some special questions for you. I don't know why, but I did.
Now I'm in trouble.
So I'm trying to be like, you know, instead of being so spontaneous, I'm trying to be like, you know, whatever.
You're more produced.
Yes, yes. Yep, no, I don't want to be produced. I'll never be produced. Right.
Eat the microphone.
What is, so like who inspired you? Like who in your career has inspired you?
Who has inspired me in my event career?
Yeah. Event career or in your life. Doesn't really matter.
Well, in my event career, quite honestly, is one of my clients, this beautiful, fantastic lady named Leslie, who works for the American Jewish Committee. And I have learned so much from her, and I just adore working with her. And we are sisters in arms and collaborators and co-conspirators. Mm-hmm. And she's really been a big inspiration for me professionally.
You know a lot of people.
I know a lot of people. I do. It's true.
I mean, I know that you know a lot of people because I'm always referring you. It's like, oh, I know Erin already. You know, it's like, God damn, can I just
You talk to everybody.
Yeah, I do.
Everybody. I would say, just to finish answering your question, I would say that, in the world, who has inspired me? I would say probably, you know, Allende is a big. Like, I love Isabel Allende, and I think her first name is Isabel. I'm tired.
What does she do?
She's an author. She's a South American author, and she writes brilliant, beautiful books about femininity and sexuality, and she's just this, like, powerful female, and I just adore reading her books and listening to her speak. And
when do you get time to do that?
When I'm on the train.
Oh, okay. When you're coming to and fro.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
I think that's what most people do. Like when they're, I think that you have to have something. I listen to podcasts. I read my book. I do writing, you know, when I'm coming to and fro, even standing at the bus stop. I do listen to music, but I'm not a big music listener. I find that very strange.
Yeah.
But I can go months without listening to music, or I can go months listening to the same record.
Yeah, I definitely can do that.
You know,
like, I have some things on like instant repeat. Absolutely.
No, yeah. I can listen to the same record over and over.
Huh.
I know.
Maybe we should get you checked.
So what's the best piece of advice that you've ever received?
The best piece of advice I've ever received?
Yeah.
Was actually, I think, from my dad. And it was, do what you love and hire others to do the same.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It's really been a big part of how I built my business and sort of built my career. Absolutely.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's a big one. And I'm not going to do all these questions, but like...
Oh, there's a lot of them
there. Yeah, I know. But when you reflect back over the years, once you've retired and you're laying back by the river on your deck chair, holding hands with your husband and your children...
Your child
has brought his grandchildren over.
Oh, yes.
And the dog is playing by your feet. How would you like to reflect on your life?
I'll be too busy. I will be reflecting.
Well, what's the legacy that you want to leave? People always talk about that.
The legacy that I want to leave? Yeah. That's a big one. I mean, honestly, I think that the thing I want to impress upon mm-hmm. everybody that I meet is that we're all people mm-hmm. and we're all in this shit together. And so we really ought to just be helping each other out.
Right.
And we're, you know, we should all be pulling together.
Right.
We don't have to agree.
I was just about to say that.
We don't have to believe the same things right. and we don't have to agree on everything. Right. God knows. But we all bleed red. We all drink water. We all sleep at night. Like we're Hopefully. All human beings.
Right.
And the more human we can be, the mm-hmm. more humane our society will be. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, so I just try and be as simple and direct and plain mm-hmm. and human as I can be mm-hmm. and deal with people that way. And right. so I think that's kind of it. I think that would be it. It's like,
and I can attest that is who you are. And to say that you are like that river, because one of your quotes is be like a river always flowing into the sea.
Absolutely.
Right.
Ever forward.
Mm-hmm.
Always looking for level.
Right. And I can attest that that's how you are. And it's so funny because when we first met, it was just automatic. I don't even remember when we first met because it was just so automatic.
Oh, absolutely. It was at a lunch and learn. I remember it. I was like, who is this fantastic, fantastic and force of nature?
I said, you look like Angel Face.
With a little devil inside.
Well, one has to have a little devil.
Well, yes.
Otherwise. It keeps you grounded.
Well, otherwise you just get run over.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So what else would you like me to ask? Do you have any questions that you would like to, question that you'd like me to ask you?
Oh, not really.
So what's not your, really. If you could do any event
Aha.
that you want to do and no holds bar, all the money is available to get it done. The spaces are available to get it done. What would that be?
An existing or something that I create?
Something that you create, because what you create wow. exists.
That's true. Wow, I don't know. I think it was something that would be a combination of like the World Economic Forum mm-hmm. combined with the Climate Summit, mm-hmm. combined with women in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the Women in the World conference really needs to be about 8 times larger than it is. Mm-hmm. But so if we grew that and we did some massive combination of those things and had lots of discussions about where mm-hmm. we are and where we're going, we can have silent meetings, we can have, you know, little breakout rooms, we can have little fireside chats, we can make coffee together, we can make pottery together. Like, I would love to do like 5 days of that, like intensive, immersed, deep conversations around those very, very primary issues.
Right. A thought just came into my head. If you were able to go back in time, where would you go?
If I could go back in time, where would I go? Ooh, I don't know. So many places I'd like to go, where? Like ancient Egypt. Uh-huh. Love to see what that was all about.
And how the event planned.
Well, and how they built those freaking pyramids.
They said aliens built those. That's another
Well,
story.
Yeah. Ancient Greece. Like, I'd love to have a conversation with Pythagoras and be like, what is up with that? Mm-hmm. So many. Like, I'd like to meet the women of women's suffrage. Mm-hmm. I'd love to. God, so many places. As long as I can bring penicillin and tampons.
Well, which you always have. No, not the penicillin, but you always, like, you have that little kit with the pins.
Oh, yeah,
you my safety. Tampons. Yeah. What else do you have? Band-aids. What else
oh,
do you
my
have?
Oh, my survival kit?
Yeah.
Oh, I have all kinds of things in my survival kit. I've got hem tape. I've got lipstick. I've got every kind of aspirin, tampons, condoms, because, you know.
What do you need condoms for? I mean, I know what you need them for, but like.
What do you mean, what do you need it for?
I know what you need them for, but like at the conference, who would ask you for a condom?
Well, a lot of, you know, most of my team are ladies and uh-huh. a lot of the techs are not. And I have no judgments.
Right.
But, you know, be safe.
Wow. That's some conference.
Well, you know, safety pins. Uh-huh. Little makeup kits, sewing kits. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll have to ask Sherry.
You have a lot. Because I was talking to somebody about
that. Oh, like lint tape.
I was talking to somebody about your emergency survival kit. And they go, yeah, she always has one of those. And I said, I know. I've never seen anybody with one of those.
Seriously?
No.
Oh, yeah. I'm a secret Girl Scout. Like, I'm an undercover Girl Scout.
You never were?
No. Uh-uh.
Why not?
I don't really know why.
I wasn't either.
I mean, my parents were not really into that kind of thing. Neither of like putting me into like stuff other than, you know.
Oh, so we're out of time? Oh.
Oh.
See, like this is what happens when I get into it. So we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
So we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I'm with Aaron Chapman.
Hello.
And we're having a really good time, and I, you know, just missed the segment we went over, but that's okay. We'll make it up. So I want to ask you, when do you feel most alive?
Oh.
No pressure.
My favorite moment is when all of the planning has kind of done, and uh-huh. you transition into load in, and all of the stuff that you've been working on and planning and making and dreaming of and making 3D renderings of, and it all starts arriving on pallets, and they're raising the screen in the ballroom, and they're putting in the AV equipment in the breakout rooms, and all the branding starts going up, and everybody's asking you a bazillion questions, and your team is running in a million directions, and you're like, I really should have worn loafers instead of heels because I'm going to put in 13 miles today, and that is my bliss. I am in heaven in that moment.
Right.
You know, I've got this person asking me about that and this person asking me about this, and they're not related in any way. And I'm like, this, that, go, no, yes, purple, go.
It's just so you're in flow.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. I am like, I feel like I have like a direct plug into the top of my head to the power of the universe.
I thought that was
on me. Like, chink, yeah. No. And it's like, everything is bright. The colors are bright. It smells fantastic. And it's like, yes. Yes.
And if you bottled that, what would it taste like? It would just be a fizz.
It would be like a black cherry chocolate soda with bourbon. Because it would have to have a kick to it. You'd have to be like, whoa.
That is great. So what's the most pressurizing, pressured situation that you've been in? Like, have you ever been in a situation where it's so pressured and you're like, what the?
Oh, so many.
Right.
So many. For this large conference that we do every year, in 2018, we took it to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. So there we were dealing with not only the intensity of the normal conference, but then we were also dealing with language barrier and cultural differences and what have you.
Right.
And there were a couple of moments during that load-in. I hope nobody from AJC is listening. There were a couple of moments during that load-in where I was like, I don't know if this is going to happen.
Right.
Like, I gonna, you know, we're gonna pray and dance and light candles and work like crazy to make it happen. And ultimately we did.
Right.
But there were a few moments there.
But you know you're gonna make it happen, right? Because you have to.
I almost never think it's not going to. But in this instance, the pressure and the stress and the cultural difference and the just like how hard it had been all the way up to that moment, there were a couple of moments there. I was like, I don't know if we're going to make it. Like, I don't know if we're going to actually pull this one off and it's going to be doomsday.
And how was it?
It was fantastic. In the end, it was actually really great. Like, there were definitely problems. It was not the smoothest of conferences.
Right.
There are a lot of things I would do differently, but it was a massive learning experience. And we did end up pulling it off. The participants, which is really all that matters, the participants were over the moon.
Right.
The executive director, I think, is still watching the videos from it, like over the moon.
Right.
So thrilled, so happy, felt really deeply connected, not only to the organization, but to where they were mm-hmm. and the history of it and everything. So it was ultimately, it was a huge success. But boy, getting there was like, I don't know.
So,
I think it left a mark.
No, it left a mark on you. So I want to know what, if somebody were listening to this show and they were looking to get into event planning, what would you want to leave them with? What could you leave them with?
To call me.
Okay. To call you.
No, definitely. Like, I feel like the best thing you can have if you want to get into events is to have a mentor.
Right.
To have somebody kind of guide you and teach you through. There's lots of books, but they don't really... No.
It's nothing like hands-on.
No, there's nothing like hands-on. And, you know, you learn how to dance in the fire by being in the fire, mm-hmm. right? So if not me, then somebody they know, mm-hmm. find somebody on LinkedIn, reach out. We're all very open, fun mm-hmm. people and always looking to mentors. So I would definitely, that would be a huge one.
And how could they reach you?
You can email me mm-hmm. At aryn@ax3studios.com mm-hmm. or you can find me on any of the social media outlets under AAA Studios mm-hmm. or AX3 Studios. And the other thing is that you know, like breaking into any industry, it's hard, mm-hmm. but don't give up.
Right.
There's a lot of networking opportunities. There's a lot of organizations out there to help you kind of get started. Mm-hmm.
Would you recommend somebody who wants to get started do some volunteering?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still volunteer on some projects where there's a planner who's much more experienced mm-hmm. or something that I haven't done a whole lot of. So yeah, volunteering is a fantastic way to sort of get your chops and meet people too. Mm-hmm. And show off your talents.
Right. Cool.
For sure.
So we got 3 more minutes to the end of the show.
That's it?
I know.
Oh my God, I could talk to you forever.
Anything else? Anything else that you'd want to leave people with? You know, like if people want to reach you to do event planning, she's not cheap. Well, let me rephrase this. She's not inexpensive. She's expensive.
Well,
but she's negotiable.
Okay. Depends on the project. I guess the only other thing which we haven't really touched on is that you are as good as your team. And if you don't have a good team of people, especially in event planning, much like the film business right. and the camera department, if you don't have a team that you can really, truly trust and rely on mm-hmm. and are good, solid people pulling with you, mm-hmm. you're sunk. Right. And I'm incredibly blessed to have a great team.
Well, you're committed to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you are nothing without your team.
Absolutely not.
Because your team has your back, your forward, your front, your sides, your up, your down, everything.
And I have theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely shield them and protect them and fight for them and everything from making sure they have meal breaks to getting paid what they deserve to making sure they get 8 hours of sleep, right. even in the middle of, you know, crazy. It's, you have to look after them. They will look after you. And, you know, I just adore them. And we're like, we're in the battle together.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We're in the trenches together for real.
So, Erin.
Yes,
ma'am. I just want to say thank you so much.
Thank
for
you.
Coming on the show. The moment I met you, I knew that we would be friends.
Yes.
And I just want to say thank you for coming on and sharing your gifts, your talents. And also, thank you for supporting me with my, you know, event planning type activities and giving me your 2 cents, your 10 cents, your dollars. I love it.
Good.
So just really, thank you so much for being.
Thank you. Nobody should awesome. Plan an event by themselves.
Exactly.
It's too
no
hard.
One should. It's very difficult. So this is Noreen Sumter on Beyond the Potential. Live life your way. Sign it off. Until next week. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.